I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Reds podcast. Great to be with you on a Monday. Can't say the same thing about the Reds. It was a rough weekend for them. We'll get to that on today's show and really discuss the biggest loss of the Reds season. It happened over the weekend, and I'm not even talking about Alex Blandino. That's the crazy part. It was the worst case scenario for the Reds over the weekend. We'll get to everything on today's show on Twitter at James Erpine, at Locked On Reds. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast. And as always, LockedOnReds.com is the place for videos, for Reds content. We cover the Reds. We preview the series. Got a great team of writers there at LockedOnReds.com and every podcast posted there as well. The Reds were scored 27-5 over the weekend. Think about that. 27-5. The Pirates haven't, and this is according to Joe Block. Actually, he got this from Elias Sports. The Pirates outscored the Reds 27-5 over the weekend. That's the Pirates' most lopsided three-game series in their favor since September 2000 against the Dodgers. The Pirates beat a team in a three-game series worse than any other time in the past 18 years. Think about that. It's been 18 years. And, yeah, the Reds, it was awful. It was awful for so many reasons. They lost 9-2 yesterday. They're now 7.5 back of the Pirates in the National League cellar. The 43-56 Reds surged into the All-Star break. And here's what I'm going to say. And I want to get to their biggest loss of the season. Remember when I told you about this? Like 3 weeks ago. When this whole, Jim Riggleman's earned the job. He needs to be the manager. I said, there's nothing he can do. Zero. Not literally nothing he can do to prove that they shouldn't interview other candidates for this job. Nothing this season. And what I said was, then if you think back, well, they're hot right now. Would you change your mind about Jim Riggleman if they lost 10 straight? Remember, they won 7 straight and they had a lot of success. And it seemed like they had turned a corner. And, since May 15th, the Reds are 35-26. So you know how many times have you seen, since May 15th, how many times have you seen stats like that? Where it's like, well, since this date, the Reds are really good. They're a pretty solid baseball team. I haven't wavered on that. But that's why you don't give Jim Riggleman the keys to the ship. It's why you... The most he could do is earn an interview, and I think he's earned an interview, by the way, to be the Reds' next manager. But that's the most he can do right now, and that will be the most he can do this year. That's it. That won't change if they lose 10 straight. I'll still think he deserves an interview. That doesn't mean I think he should be the manager. I lean towards no. There's probably someone else out there that's better. But the reality is you're talking about a team that is young, a team that is clearly flawed. And this is the other thing. And it's kind of I don't want to say a revelation because I've always leaned this way. I'm not re-upping Scooter Gennett and going all in on this Reds team. I think they're a little ways away. And that's why between now and July 31st, the thing I would look to do most is try to get a top prospect for Rossell Iglesias. I would try to get, I talked about it on Friday, right here, that trade with the Nationals. If you could get a top five prospect that's in AAA, ready to play center field, that you can get now, and you could bring him up here with a Nick Senzel, that is how you build a sustained team. Let's say the Reds next year go for it. They want to be really good. And let's say they keep Riggleman around, keep Jeanette around, they trade Senzel, and they get an ace. You think that team is enough? You think they're good enough to do what? To be maybe good for a year? Maybe contend for the playoffs for a year or two? I want to be good for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And the way you do that is you get these prospects like Nick Senzel. And you put them on the field. You get prospects, trading closers to get prospects. Remember when they traded Chapman and it was like, man, who are they going to find to close? They found someone else. And I think their future closer could be right here on the roster with Amir Garrett. this team is farther away than a lot of people think now, but they're a lot closer than what people thought in April. They're right in between. And this idea that they should just, you know, deal the farm and get an ace and that's going to be good enough, I don't think it is. I don't think the outfield is good enough. I obviously Scooter Gennett, at least right now, is good enough. But their starters, clearly not good enough. And the worst part about what happened over the weekend, one, Alex Blandino goes down, a young, promising young player with a torn ACL. The other thing was what happened to the Dark Knight. We'll get to that next on the Locked On Reds podcast. Yesterday, Great American Ballpark, Reds beat the Pirates 9-2, and that's one thing. No problem with that. I don't lose sleep. I'll be honest. I don't lose sleep over the Reds losing a game. They're going to lose a lot more this year. That's fine. Not really worried about that. Here's what I'm worried about, though. Here's what concerns me. Matt Harvey got his ass kicked. That's the biggest loss. Yesterday, what happened on that field for that four innings he was in, 3 2/3 innings he was in, was the biggest, awful, most excruciating loss that the Reds have taken all season. Because I don't know, like, if you're a contending team and you see that and what Matt Harvey had given up yesterday, 3 2/3 innings, 8 runs, 4 home runs, it's awful. Eight runs, 8 hits, 4 home runs. He hadn't allowed a home run in his previous 6 starts. He hadn't allowed a home run in 34 1/3 innings. And what's crazy about this is if he goes out, he's going to have probably one more start in a Reds uniform. If he sucks in that start, who's giving up anything for him? Instant trade value just plummets. No one's going to want him. No contending team is going to say, oh, he's a bad starter, got bumped to the bullpen in New York. New York got so sick of him that they traded him for the corpse of Devin Mesoraco. The Reds get 5-6 solid starts out of him, and then he gets shelled in back-to-back starts. That's it. That's what he is. He just had 5 or 6 good starts. Those are the outliers. That's not the reality. That's how teams will look at it. And they weren't getting a lot from Matt Harvey anyway. So yesterday, that loss, that's huge. The idea of a contender trading for Matt Harvey when he was hot, when he was pitching very well, is one thing. But if he gets his tail kicked in his final start with the Reds, it might not be his final start with the Reds. It might be, ah, crap, we can't get anything for him. Or they might have to get a single-A player who no one will ever hear of because they don't project to get to the big leagues. Like, yesterday was dreadful for him. I would rather lose the next 8 games and have Matt Harvey pitch well yesterday. Because long-term, the eight losses don't matter. This affects long-term. This affects the idea of rolling together a Billy Hamilton and Matt Harvey package. Or my personal favorite with the Nationals, which, again, I said Friday, a Rossell Iglesias and Matt Harvey for that center fielder, Robles, and another prospect or two. Like, that's the dream, right? And the dream took a huge hit yesterday. It did. And I want to know how much stock these baseball scouts, these teams would put into one start. Because he was he got his tail kicked in. 3 2/3, and I don't have audio right now because I'm not in studio, but if I was, I would play audio of Matt Harvey after the game. But what do you expect him to say? Maybe he just wants to stay in Cincinnati. He's like, hell no, I want to stay here. But that's the idea of, like, the small sample size. The Riggleman thing's a lot like the Harvey thing. Oh, they should extend Matt Harvey. Really? I want to play the long game with this rebuild. And what I mean by that, we've done all the pain, all the grunt work, all of the crap. We've went through all the awful trades and all of the losing. I don't want to just patch it together now right towards the end of it and have a decent team for 2 years. I want them to play the long game. I want them to say, yeah, it feels like we're close. Let's do it the right way so we're good for a long time. And hopefully they can do that. But, yeah, Matt Harvey, that L, it's the worst loss the Reds have had all season. Injuries aside, Brian Price aside, whatever you want to say, that hurts the most. Hopefully Matt Harvey can rebound. Hopefully it doesn't impact his draft stock or his trade stock, trade value too much. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Reds podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. I know we're not in studio. I know it sounds a little different, but I really appreciate you listening. You can subscribe on Twitter or subscribe, excuse me, on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and you can follow on Twitter at James Erpine at Locked On Reds. Thank you so much for listening. Back at it tomorrow. Have a great Monday. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today on the Locked On Reds podcast.